Katz, host of Dog Nation Daily and UGA Insider at Dog Nation Daily on the social medias. B.A., how are you doing today?
What up, B.A.?
You know, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be with you guys.
It feels like a big change from a week ago, and obviously part of that is Georgia with, albeit some issues against Auburn, but it's still a relatively comfortable win. You pair that, obviously, with Alabama going down to Vanderbilt and maybe a little bit more sun in the sky for Dog fans this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Georgia is still what it was after the game against Alabama, a team that very much alive and had a chance to accomplish all of its postseason goals, but also an imperfect team that was capable of getting down 28-0 there that day. I do think what has happened around Georgia since then does kind of make you think differently about that, because when Bama loses to Vanderbilt, and when Tennessee, another undefeated team, loses to Arkansas, it does to a degree reset the board, and it does remind you that this is just sort of a crazy, chaotic season, and that, you know, Georgia's loss, as kind of unfortunate as it was if you're a UGA fan, is certainly not unforgivable when you look at what other teams are now going to have to try to overcome. And the fact that Georgia did mostly avoid that drama on Saturday, I think is a little bit, I'm talking about against Auburn, I think that is a little bit of a reminder this team does have the staying power to potentially be in it all the way to the end. Now, when you've got some defensive breakdowns, some missed tackles, when you've got right now kind of a lack of explosive plays on offense, there's also a chance this season won't end in a national title the way that it did in 2021 and 2022. But I do think the chaotic weekend we just saw ought to make Georgia fans pretty plugged in to what the next few weeks could have in store.
Hey, B.A., what did you think about what Kirby said after the game about the home crowd and things like that, as far as, you know, not saying it's a bad crowd, but maybe not the participation. I guess that's what he was looking for on Saturday.
Yeah, Randy, going back to last week, I talked about how if you watched Falcons fans last Thursday, now I don't think that building was full to begin the game, but certainly Falcons fans were celebrating huge when the game was over. And the point that I try to make to my obviously mostly college football audience is NFL fans for a long time have made peace with losses. You know, Falcons lost to Pittsburgh, Falcons lost to Kansas City, and yet when you beat Tampa and you're building like that, that's a pretty big deal. You know, it's a reminder that in the NFL, everybody expects to lose, but how many can you win, and how happy are you going to be when you do win, and what can you do to kind of create an atmosphere for those moments? That college football is now just more like the NFL, and you can't afford to have a real long memory about what didn't go well against Alabama, because honestly, by the time Georgia plays Texas, if it beats Texas, which I think it very much could, at that point in time, we may not have anybody undefeated in the SEC anymore. And who knows what Oregon, Ohio State, teams like that are doing in the Big Ten, that it's just a season which a lot of teams are going to suffer losses. And so some people are going to cast Kirby's criticism of, well, this is an example that Georgia fans are spoiled now. For me, I think it's a situation where not every Georgia fan has fully made sense of a world in which you just don't have time anymore to kind of, you know, be in too much of a slump based on a loss or too down in the dumps based on a loss, because everybody's going to lose eventually, probably. And so, therefore, what can you do to give yourself the best chance of winning, which means you got to create the great atmosphere. And I expect Georgia fans to be much better this weekend than Kirby thought they were this past weekend.
Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. B.A., one of the biggest differences for me, and I think it was glaring against Auburn, this is an Auburn team that was happy to hand the ball over, and Georgia was not able to create any turnovers. And I know Kirby Smart has spoken about trying to find ways to do that, but that to me feels like one of the bigger differences in this defense and what we've been seeing in maybe the defense in years past.
Yeah, but the other thing that Kirby also said, and this is probably the thing that I believe the most, which is that, you know, from one week to the next, turnovers can be a little bit of a fickle mistress. In other words, you know, Auburn at some point in time was always, I don't want to say due to, but likely to play a cleaner game from a turnover standpoint. And at that point in time, you're left to tussle with the team that coming into last Saturday was third in the SEC in yards per play, and third in the SEC in plays of 20 or more yards. Pretty good offensively, other than those turnovers. So to me, while I know they missed some tackles, and you are correct to point out, they didn't get the benefit of some of the turnovers that Auburn had been giving to other teams, the truth is to kind of find a way to keep Auburn to 13 points, knowing that Auburn did play, finally, an interception turnover-free game, I think that's mostly good for the Georgia defense. It was certainly not a throwback to 2021. This defense is nowhere near that dynamic.
No.
But, I mean, I thought it was a better game defensively, certainly what they played against Alabama, albeit a very different level of competition. But I thought that Saturday was mostly a step in the right direction for Georgia defensively, although certainly far from perfect.
What did you think? I mean, I know you mentioned it earlier, but, I mean, I'm sitting there with my 11-year boys like, Daddy, Vanderbilt's about to beat Alabama. I kept saying, there's no way in hell Alabama's going to lose to Vanderbilt. And they do lose to him. What was your initial reaction? Because I know B.A.B.'s talking about it, you know, and I started hearing at work today, a Georgia fan, thank God for the Commodores. I was like, well, I'm not built that way to say thank God for another team beating a team that beat mine. But what was your thought process after you saw that after that upset?
Well, I was thrilled by it. I mean, obviously, part of that's because Alabama lost, but also because of just how crazy college football is. And I do think that we're set up for a remainder of the season where crazy stuff like that could happen again. And it's funny, you know, from a point spread standpoint, this is not even the biggest upset of the season.
Right.
I believe that Northern Illinois over Notre Dame was a bigger point spread upset. But name value upset, Vanderbilt beating Alabama is the biggest possible upset of them all because of what Alabama has been and what Vanderbilt's been for the entirety of our lifetime here. So it's crazy. It's remarkable. And I'll tell you one thing. I do have to go back to what we talked about last week here on this show where I said that if I'm watching that Alabama game last, the game against Georgia where Bama gave up that big lead, that would not have happened during the Nick Saban era, and it would not surprise me if whatever issues Bama put on display there comes back to haunt them eventually. I didn't think it'd be 1 week later, but that's, you know, kind of the way that worked out. And the other thing here, I'll say this just kind of quickly, is when you look at a guy like Diego Pavia, the quarterback for Vanderbilt, kind of an unknown, unheralded, probably pretty cheap from an NIL standpoint guy from New Mexico State, you know, compare that to what's happening kind of across the state there at Tennessee where Nico Iamaleva, you know, obviously millions of dollars, big NIL kind of bonus baby. At this point in time, I'm not quite so sure that Vanderbilt doesn't have the better of the two quarterbacks, which is maybe something to keep in mind here. The same way you love an NFL quarterback on a rookie contract, kind of like what Brock Purdy has been, the cheaper option at quarterback for some college football teams may also prove to be the better option as well.
B.A., you mentioned things that come back to bite programs, and the one thing to me that keeps biting Georgia is the slow start, and obviously 28-0 is a slow start of its own discussion. But even against Auburn, you get in a situation, and this was like the last thing Kirby said to the sideline reporter before taking the field to coach was, we need to get off to a better start. That didn't happen. I mean, it's 7-3 with 90 seconds left in that first half. Is this a Carson Beck thing? Is it a Mike Bobo thing? Is there no real specific thing you can address? Why can't Georgia get points up on the board against SEC opponents?
Well, I still don't think Carson Beck's playing his best football. I think eventually maybe that'll come. But I think the real answer to this question may also be somewhat tedious. Right now, Georgia's playing among the slower paced teams in the country. They're like 90-something in the country in plays per game at a time in which the clock is also moving faster than it has before. So you mentioned Saturday. The truth is Georgia scored a touchdown on its opening drive, but it took them forever to do it. They only had the ball, what, four times in the first half? I think they had eight total possessions in the game. Like right now, one of the things that's hurting Georgia is they're not getting a ton of possessions. The clock moves faster than it used to. Georgia's playing slower now than it has in either of the last, you know, three seasons. They're only, you know, getting about 65 plays per game right now. So I do think it's one of those things that strategically Georgia might have to consider at some point, is if you're being limited in your possessions by your preferred pace and by how the clock is kind of moving against you, do you need to play a little faster, hope to create a few more explosives, which can create a few more successful drives? Right now, the kind of untold story for Georgia may be the pace that it's choosing to play at as much as anything involving a Mike Bobo or a Carson Beck, because my guess is the preferred pace is coming from Kirby Smart here. And so at some point in time, Georgia might need to address, do we need to play faster as a way of hoping to get a little bit of a higher powered offensive performance.
Hey, B.A., we were laughing earlier today, and I was wondering because we know that the Alabama fans calling Paul Show, and what's his name, Legend or somebody? Is there a legend in the? Is there have you and you would know this? Have you ever been introduced to the legend of the Georgia fan base?
You know, I don't know who that would be, but obviously one of the things you do love about Georgia fans is you go around, you meet them. You know, so many of them have a story. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff in the Feinbaum show is probably played up for effect sometimes. I don't always love the way in which they kind of exploit some of the callers, to be completely honest with you. But you know, listen, I love Georgia fans, and I love the passion they show. And obviously when Georgia loses, they're, you know, going to be fired up about that. When Georgia wins, they're going to be fired up about that there as well. And, you know, I think it is a lot of fun to see some people see Alabama fans have to kind of take their medicine a little bit. After all the stuff they said for such a long time, I do certainly get where the interest in that comes from.
B.A., final question for me. It's Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily. Just as we look ahead to Mississippi State here, who are we getting back? I know Smile Mundin was out, and there are a couple other players out last week. Who might be able to make a return this week?
So I have a theory about something. I don't know if this is true, but this is my theory. Kirby's going to speak to the media again tonight. Y'all watch and see if you have a chance to pay attention to it. Of course, we'll have it on our Dog Nation YouTube page. I think now that Kirby has to do the availability reports, he's now saying less than nothing about injuries. Yeah, he was asked about this yesterday, and, like, I mean, he barely even grunted out an answer. And I guess he's well within his rights to do this, but used to be Kirby would give you a little bit, even if it was we're hopeful to get him back. Now he's not even hardly saying that anymore. So I think now that he's kind of forced to do the availability report, and my understanding is for that last one, if you don't do it, if you don't tell the truth, they will fine you. Now that he's kind of forced to do that, I think that he's saying less than nothing about injuries. But yeah, obviously in the case of Mondin, it seems like that's a lingering foot thing, and they've obviously got their things they're dealing with. But I do think it's been kind of interesting. They've used the availability report pretty well this year, so we may have to wait till Wednesday to start finding out about some of this kind of stuff.
All right, man. I mean, Kirby will try to find a way because either if there's a way where you got to leak as least amount of information as possible, he's going to try to do that.
That's right. That's right for sure.
B.A., appreciate your time as always.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
There it is. Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily.